Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd, Ali.
My name is Ramzan. my name is Ali Alomi, the classic nerd of the group.
And I'm V, oh, nerd.
Okay, so...
The context to why
I context said... is because we were looking up... Because I asked V... how to say that Chechenian dictator's name, because he brought it up like a few weeks ago.
Somehow they were saying Godiva.
Yeah. So his name is Ramzan
Kadyrov.
And the reason I wanted to bring it up is because, V, you got some splaining to do.
We spent 20 minutes trying to figure out how to say
it. We had to YouTube it. We had to Google it. We Wikipedia'd it.
Well, we sure Siri wasn't saying it right.
Yeah, that was okay, Google.
Okay, whatever.
Anyways. So, V, you got some splaining to do.
Okay. What do I explain?
You have to explain why your boy... Your man's.
Kadyrov?
No. Uncle Creepy, Ian McCall, a man that you've trained mixed martial arts with, has said he don't give no shits about no Russian dictators. I know war is bad and whatnot, but if that motherfucker go and pay me, I'm going to go there and fight. My job is to punch people in the face. So if he pays me $100,000 to go and punch someone in the face, I'll go and do it. I know war is bad, and I know I shouldn't support it, but I need to get paid. Why is your boy saying this? Why is he going to this dictator?
Did it really...
Ow. Why?
Did you really...
I'm not
plan on bringing this...
I don't know what the context of this
is. This is your boy.
First of all, me and Ian McCall are friends. So I don't know, but like...
You've rolled around with them shirtless. Your friends.
You know... This has gone in a direction I'm not sure Kadyrov would appreciate.
Yeah. So probably not.
The homophobe that he is. So
we took 20 minutes trying to figure out how to pronounce his name.
Not just a homophobe, but a guy who's like literally killing.
Yeah, we took
all this time to try to figure out how to pronounce his name for you to bring this bullshit to the podcast.
Just to accuse you.
To accuse you of.
Of allowing this guy.
Somehow. So, like, not only is it guilt by association, but it's guilt by association, like to an extra degree, right? Like, yeah, once removed. So it's like guilt by association by once removed. Some guy you knew is going to a place of some other guy who's doing the killings.
You support Ramzan
Kadyrov. Did he actually say that he was going? Or did he say that if he pays me, I'll go?
He said, here's what he said, all right?
This is not a direct quote.
This is paraphrasing. He got his release.
So naturally, Diz isn't obviously not, is just making stuff up.
He was on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani. He got
released from what, Jim?
The UFC, right? He got his release from the UFC, and he's like, I want to go fight. Maybe I'll go fight in Ryzen.
Is it bad that I assumed that he got out of jail?
Not necessarily, because V told us a story about him beating a woman at the Spectrum once.
Oh, jeez.
So you're not wrong in your assumption that he
would. I don't remember this story. I don't remember this guy at all. So somehow you have more details than I do.
Because I've watched him in the mixed martial arts. Oh. So he's like, I want to go somewhere where they'll pay me $100,000 to fight, man.
An average of how much fighters make?
$100,000? No. He was making like $20,000 to fight, $20,000 to win.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
They don't make anything.
They don't make a lot, yeah. Like, it's like very few that make good money. Mm. You have to be a champion and then you get like pay-per-view points. It's terrible. And I don't want to get into that. It's stupid. But anyways, so he's like, I want someone that'll pay me $100,000. I'm going to go fight in Japan in Ryzen, right? But if that doesn't work, then I'll go fight for Ramzan Kadyrov. He'll pay me. I know that the money is wrong and he's a dictator.
You still can't pronounce it exactly.
Ramzan Kadyrov. I pronounced it better than V did when he brought him up. But anyways.
That is apparently the I was unaware of this context. I was just trying to figure out how to pronounce this dude's name.
But he's got an interesting name.
Kadyrov.
You have some explaining to do. How are you gonna explain this to your loyal fans?
It just so happens.
Put the poor man on trial.
Just so happens, I don't give a fuck what he does. I don't give a fuck what you think about me.
Oh. Well, solid answer.
As the judge in this trial, I'll allow it.
I accept.
I'll allow it. So I should mention that this has been a really rough week for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
What happened? Your hair follicles been growing back at a faster rate.
I was waiting for that. Actually, I was
the hair joke.
He was gonna. Yeah.
Back faster than usual.
It's not a particularly clever.
I didn't say that they weren't.
Though apparently we were talking about bald people in general. So let's talk about bald people. Then we'll talk about my struggles.
Okay.
So the I found
isn't that what Mein Kampf is?
He compared you to Hitler.
I'm just wondering, didn't Mein Kampf mean My Struggle?
This is one of those podcasts where I don't want to be associated with either of you.
I thought we were talking about dictators and shit, so I just kind of went there.
We were talking about whether a friend of ours wrote this up in a group chat, whether bald people seem more trustworthy.
No. It was, do bald people trust bald people more than they trust other people?
No, do people trust bald people
more? No, she asked specifically, as a bald person, do you trust another fellow bald person's word over someone
else? No, I didn't realize that was the question. I thought it was like how people's perceptions of bald. There has been research that's been done that society doesn't treat bald people as more trustworthy, but that they seem more commanding.
Yeah,
it's associated with high levels of masculinity, military, etc. Which is really not true, right? So people view bald people as more intimidating, commanding, etc.
Fair enough.
But I was like, this research, first of all, is probably done by someone who's bald themselves, trying to make themselves feel. But it also doesn't take into consideration that it's like there are vast cultural differences when it comes to hair, right?
Yes.
So being bald can be very attractive in black culture.
Yeah.
Right,
and in some cultures it means you're a witch.
Yeah,
what?
So in white culture not as much.
No,
white bald people don't look right.
Because have you seen Larry David?
They look like Q-tips.
Yeah, Larry David is not an attractive man.
Whereas, like, you know, people who are bald in, and then of course
Omar Epps.
If you're in Southeast Asia, being bald means something completely different.
What?
Right.
Like where, like in Vietnam and stuff?
In places like Vietnam, in places like Japan, bald might be associated with things like Buddhism, right?
Religious characteristics.
So I think the cultural context plays a big role in perceptions of baldness.
See, I trust bald people more than I trust people with hair.
It's not that I naturally, so I don't see hair. I have what's called bald vision. So when people was like, oh, so-and-so has really nice hair.
You just really just say, I don't see
hair. I don't see hair. In the same way that white people don't see race.
Yeah, they don't see color.
They don't see color.
You don't see
hair. I don't see hair. I just see, everyone to me is bald.
Oh, so like you come from a place of privilege.
I come from a place of baldness. Is what I
go. So you can't trust people with thick flowing hair. You don't know what they're hiding in there.
That's true. If I see a man like
thick flowing
with
hair.
Thick, like I just don't trust you. You know why? Because I don't have that thick flowing hair. My hair is thin.
Arash has nice flowing hair.
I don't trust him.
I love that guy,
but I don't trust him.
I trust him.
No, you love him, but you don't trust him.
Well, don't tell me how I feel.
I know how you. That's I can see guy. Into your
shout
eyes.
Shout out to you, Arash.
Yeah. He's hiding drugs in there. I'm sure of it.
Okay, now we're just getting.
Yeah, don't accuse.
This is slander.
Our friends.
Anyways,
that's why you accused me of.
I can accuse you.
I don't know why that conversation was directly. I just wanted to talk about bald people for a moment. Okay. But my struggles, my legitimate struggles this week has been technological.
Oh, this has been fun.
Did your large your extra characters on Twitter end up backfiring on you?
I upgraded my software.
Yes, he went from iOS 8 to 11. He jumped.
You know what I did when I told my friends? I told some of my buddies that I upgraded to iOS 11. They're like, what do you have before? I was like, oh, wait. They're like, you haven't updated your phone in 10 years? I'm like, no. It's not that I have the same phone from 2008. I have software that's 08. Like, they panicked for a moment.
No, it was iOS 8.0.
Whatever. They thought that I had meant that I hadn't upgraded into
your phone.
But I haven't upgraded my phone in what, 4 years now?
Three years.
So I have, for many a year, I've been receiving emojis, and they just look like boxes with aliens in them.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the software to tell me what that emoji was. So I felt like I was missing out on that conversation.
And then anytime we've like emphasized something or liked something,
yeah,
or
it just, for me,
it just says hearted image.
You know, some people are the worst at it. She will remain nameless, but she is one of our dear friends. She knows who you know who you are. Is the worst at it, because I'll be sitting there and suddenly I'll get like 15 text messages, and it's just her because of my. It's a combination.
She's catching it late.
She's catching up,
yeah.
But my phone doesn't recognize catching up.
Yeah.
My phone is just sending text messages that says so and so liked this comment, so and so liked this comment, so and so laughed at this comment, so and so, and I'm just like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
On Facebook?
No, on
text messages. Because you know,
this is my struggle.
You could react to text messages.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
I hate that.
He gets it as a text message.
Not anymore.
Instead of seeing it as a.
Now it's all updated. But now that I know what I've been missing out, I hate it. I hate that I have updated my software. I hate that I've joined the rest of the world in the technological adventure.
I don't
like the fact that they've turned text messages into Facebook. It's bad enough that you have all these fucking reactions on Facebook. Why do I need to like or emphasize or question people's. I get it. I read the comment. I don't need to
react. Save me from writing LOL.
I hate it. It's bad enough that we said shit like LOL, but now we have to literally react. We hold down and react. You know, I hate that.
You know what I did to him the other night? It was fun.
He hacked my phone.
I didn't hack his phone. I kept sending him the different like things you can with the messages. So like I'd send multiple at one time.
I don't know how that's not hacking your phone, because you're making my phone do things that I don't want it to do. So, that is the definition of violation.
I'd set one with a heart, one with
graffiti. This should be consensual.
Graffiti.
Is what I'm trying to say.
It's consensual. iOS
9. I never consented to having my phone put fucking, what do you call it? Confetti on its screen.
Mm.
I didn't consent. You're just spewing confetti on my phone without my consent.
It goes away.
That's violation.
I sent it with lasers.
But that,
he said, I don't know. See, the phone obviously consented.
Huh?
The phone consented.
I didn't tell the phone to consent.
You did by updating
yourself. What's worse about it, too, is like, some of that shit will give you seizures.
Yeah, the laser one.
They will. This is a epileptic nightmare waiting to happen.
So you're worried about getting seizures from your
phone? Not me, but I'm worried about someone out there receiving a text message with lasers in it that ends up giving them an epileptic seizure.
Now you're being ridiculous. Worry about another person.
I'm naturally worried about other people. I'm a very considerate person.
You could record your screen now on iOS 11. So I went and I recorded my screen.
That's creepy.
As I was swiping on Tinder and sent it to my group chat.
Why?
Because it was fun to send it to my group chat. Just wanted to do it.
I don't like a lot of the software updates in general. I'm not a fan of technology.
He thought they found his credit card number and he yelled at me.
Yeah, they did find my credit card number. It says Visa. How does it know I have a Visa?
Because you put it in 3 years ago when you signed up for iTunes.
I don't remember doing that. But see, that's an
old Visa card that you have on there that's expired.
Oh, yeah, it is expired.
Yeah. But
fuck like, you, Apple.
Yeah, like, you have a really tough time kind of going on with the modern technology and conveniences, huh?
You know, it's not that I have a difficult time. I can use technology as well as the other person if I have to. The problem is like
you're reluctant to.
It's not just that I'm reluctant. It's like we do it without thinking.
That's true.
I want us to be a little bit more like face recognition technology is bothersome to me. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like that stuff naturally, like, okay. What is to stop and DHS from using that?
That's true. There's what is it? They talk about how the phones or like you know any recording device naturally picks up on conversations. Yeah. So then your ads get targeted. Yeah. According to those.
So
like,
apparently
little bits,
these
right?
things can listen in.
Yeah. My other phone is listening to us because
I've been saying random stuff to throw NSA off my trail.
See, like anytime I say okay,
I have. It's like every once in a while at 3 a.m.
You yell not random.
I'll just say stuff like, "I love the Cowboys," just to throw them off my scent.
Orchids
at 3 a.m. Just say something, the whitest thing possible, and they'll be like, "Whose phone is this? This isn't maybe it's an Ali, not an Ali."
See, now I appreciate your paranoia of new things because I'm not always good at it, but you always bring up smart points. There's other things where I don't necessarily agree with. I mean, Alita hasn't had a running toilet in his apartment for years.
I believe in outhouses.
Yeah, he makes his
toilet. Toilet is the devil.
He has an aqueduct connected to his
dig a hole in the ground.
Roman aqueduct, actually. When he invented running water, that was the best technology. That's it.
Yeah.
No further.
So, you know, it's naturally weird because he's on the second floor. So, naturally, the people that are living under him always have a fun time.
It's terrible.
But I can understand, the problem with technology is that, you know, we do willingly just kind of, we assume that it's just kind of what it is, right? And then people get really upset when fucking Equifax or something gets hacked.
Exactly.
And then you're like, well, you know.
We just took it for granted that there's this company that has all of our information.
Yeah. What's even crazier is that, you know, there's a business for internet security, right? Yeah. But I'm like, but then you're giving all your information to the security firm that's like.
So they have it all.
Yeah.
I actually think the security firms are a scam.
Yeah.
I think that's the NSA trying to get your information. Listen, like, we'll protect it. Now give it over to us.
I've already accepted that our fucking internet overlords have taken over my life.
This is what I was talking about when I've said that when we talk about Foucault, there's two metaphors in Foucault. The first metaphor of Foucault is the panopticon. The panopticon is that prison that I've talked about like a million times on this podcast.
Distracted state.
Yeah, I think I've worked at that con before.
Where it's like, no, not that panopticon.
Okay.
Where there's a prison, a guard at the top of the tower, and around the tower is a big circle where all the prisoners are.
Uh-huh.
The prisoners never know if the guard is ever in there, but it looks like the guard can see everyone at the same time.
Uh-huh.
That's Big Brother. Big Brother is constantly watching. But Big Brother doesn't need to constantly watch you, because there's a second metaphor that people often forget in Foucault, and that's the dialectic of the confessional, the confession box, the Catholic Church, where you literally give up your free information. And this is what we do with what? Social media. The Big Brother never needs to spy on you, because all they have to do is go on your fucking Instagram and be like, oh yeah, they were in D.C. Mm. Oh yeah, they were in Malaysia.
That is true.
Or they come with these things like, hey, security... Internet security, we got you back. Here's my social security. Here's my... You give it everything. Yeah. That's the confessional.
What's even funnier is now, they didn't have to actually give you anything. They'd be like, hey, well, here's a free Snapchat filter, and you can give your shit away to us.
Yeah, facial recognition.
I'm just going to point out another thing, is that the other thing this phone has done when it upgrades is it has dared to organize my photos without my permission or my consent.
You agreed. Did you click
agree? I didn't click agree.
You did. You had to have. You accepted the terms, bro. You fucking agreed. You gave consent.
I gave no consent.
He's over here.
It organized my phone, my pictures, according to location.
Oh, cool.
How did it know I was in those places?
GPS?
Yeah. My GPS is off. You see, that's what I'm saying.
Off. It just, it says it's off. It's not really
That's off. What I'm saying. That's messed up.
You ever MapQuested anywhere? On your phone? Google Mapped?
No one ever uses it. What do you ever 2005
Google?
Called.
You ever Google Map?
MapQuest back.
You ever Google Map?
I did Google Map.
All right then, motherfucker.
That pisses me off, though.
Your GPS fact is
that
on.
The fact that it's able to associate photos to places, that annoys me. That annoys me. It goes, oh, you were in D.C.? I'm going to put this in your D.C. album.
Who gives a shit?
Who gave you the right to put it in my D.C. album? Maybe I want to put it in my fucking Albuquerque album.
Throw people off the scent.
Exactly.
Listen, bro.
So that's why I yell out Cowboys.
Anytime that like...
I create false trails.
So like when you're staying here, you just give Diz your phone when he flies to D.C. or Virginia. And they'll be like, oh, he's in Virginia right now. We're actually in California.
I have driven 700 miles just to turn on my GPS. To turn it off and then come back home, so they have no idea where I really was.
They know where you're at all times.
Just saying.
There's triangulation.
Maybe not everyone is as paranoid as I am.
Yeah, you're fucking... You're on another level of paranoia.
I'm willing to admit that I've read one too much Asimov, right?
Hey, how much aluminum foil do you have in your house?
A lot. it's actually lines in the walls. It's to keep the radiation out.
I'm not surprised.
The radio waves.
He goes to bed in aluminum foil hat. That's why we're not allowed in his room.
No, it's not a hat. I actually wrap myself in it.
It's like a blanket.
It's a fantastic blanket. You know the heat conduction. Yeah. Keeps me nice and toasty.
Looks like just big old Chipotle burrito in there. So
keeps me at a keeps me at a toasty 108 degrees. So maybe not everyone's as paranoid. I've read quite a lot of iRobot, Asimov. You know, that's just me. But you've got to admit that some of this technology, it's going in the direction that is alarming.
Oh, it's scary.
The fact that you're now going to have your not a password, but you're going to have the face thing. Mm-hmm. Or the fact that yours has a thumb. Print.
Yours is a thumbprint too. You just don't use it.
I refuse to use it. Why? Why does it need my thumbprint?
So yeah, it's true.
Sneaky fucks.
Well, there's. I mean, they talk about this all the time too. It's like you really. I mean, we just kind of assume that access is only going to Apple. We're like, well,
right.
You know, like there's. I mean, literally, Apple can give that information to anyone. And
Google should know what I'm Googling.
Yeah, but they do.
So that annoys me.
Yeah, and then obviously because then you see the targeted advertising, right? And it's really kind of scary.
I've told you this. I've looked up a statue once that followed me for 6 months.
Yeah,
everywhere I went was this fucking statue. Mm-hmm. Pisses me off.
Turn ad blocker on.
Yeah, you say that now, but you're not going to be so happy when you walk down the street and there are customized apps hitting you in the fucking face.
Actually,
for your small dick, dick pills for Diz.
I'd appreciate.
You're not going to feel so good.
Why
are
wouldn't
you?
I? I'd appreciate it as long as no one else knows. I'm cool with it.
Walking down the street. Down Aliso Creek Boulevard. It's like, dick pills for Diz.
Dick pills for Diz here. Okay, cool. Thank you. I needed those. And now I know it's there. I'm going to go. Mm-mm. Good. Take all my information.
The technology doesn't need to know that information. It doesn't need to know that stuff.
Why? Just fucking
You think it's okay, but you're not going to be happy once the overlords take over.
I've accepted that the overlords are going to take over.
In artificial intelligence, we're fucked.
You're fucked. I'm accepting it. Remember, we said if an apocalypse happened, if there's a zombie apocalypse, I'm shooting myself in the head. I know there's going to be an overlord coming in. I'm giving him all my information. Make my life easier.
You are the exact person that Google these loves. Overlords want and love.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you save me. While you're sitting there, Cypher, selling the rest of us out before a piece of fucking meat that's not even real meat.
That's a Matrix reference for you youngins.
Yeah, Cypher was the real one.
I'll be the fucking Morpheus of the generation.
Listen, Cypher,
I'm gonna
Cypher, dark and bald.
First off,
You know what? Your racism is on another level today.
Cypher was the smartest one there. He was able to go into the Matrix.
Cypher ends up dying.
I don't give a shit. He went into the Matrix, had dinner with an agent.
He betrayed humanity.
While everyone else in the ship had no idea that he was there.
He betrayed humanity.
Even though you need someone to get you in and out.
He betrayed humanity.
That's true.
That's all you need to know.
Plot hole.
It's not a plot hole. It's the literal plot. There's no hole. That's the plot.
No. Here's the plot hole. How did he get in there and have the dinner with Agent Smith if someone needs to put the thing in your head and they need to call you to get out? How do they know?
I don't know. If he's talking to one of the computers, sure they're going to find a way to get him in
pretty
there.
Pretty sure it's automated. You can do automated stuff. No, pretty, yeah, for sure.
Plot hole.
You mean to tell me that he's going to meet the people who literally run and curate the machine and somehow he's not going to find a way in there to be able to talk to him?
But how did he get that meeting set up? Because if they're with everyone every time they go into the Matrix.
I'm pretty sure there's a way.
See, you guys just don't want to accept that there's a fucking plot hole.
No, you don't want to accept the fact that you're a fucking traitor to the human race. The plot hole. Fucking piece of
he's
shit.
He's the real one. Neo is a fucking fake.
What's up with you and accusing people of all this shit today? Exactly.
What am I accusing?
I'm accusing him.
He's accusing me.
I called him
a traitor. Time to put you on. I'm putting you on trial.
Put me on trial.
Hey, no, it took you 20 minutes into the podcast to finally get even with him.
I'm not the one that has terroristic ties.
Well, no, the problem is, though, I kind of didn't.
What are you doing?
I'm tired.
This podcast goes out live. You just put us on a watch list.
It doesn't go out live.
Yeah. People listen to it.
Yeah.
Point is, we just got
three
put on a...
listen to it.
We've been put on a watch list
it's
now.
Is my fault VS ties to a Chechenian dictator?
Okay, we need to pause right now. Can you disavow all connections to this Chechenian dictator?
No, V has connections.
You need to stop saying that because if he gets arrested, actually you're replaceable. No, he's not. He's not. I refuse to accept that. We can't. He's the leg of the tripod. Stop trying to get him arrested.
I'm not. I'm just saying. He tried to put
if
me
you
on
get
trial.
If you get detained, I mean, you know exactly
he tried to put me on trial. I spun it back on him.
I don't give a fuck. Seriously.
Fair enough.
No.
I don't trust him. He's probably the one who stole all the fucking Szechuan sauce from the McDonald's.
Okay, can we take a moment? This has clearly been an episode where I need to get things off my chest. Yeah. First, the bald thing.
Oh. Yeah, okay. The iPhone thing.
Then the iPhone thing. Right? Because clearly, for a week it's been bothering me. Oh, dude, that's another thing I should mention before Szechuan said. They changed Siri's voice.
Oh, yeah.
She sounds way too young and chipper. Hold on, I want you all to hear this.
She sounds happy.
Siri, tell me a joke. Listen.
If I told you a joke in my language, I'd have to explain it.
This isn't the Siri I know.
You made us wait.
The Siri I know was robotic sounding.
How are you gonna
and cold?
You be upset at him for making us wait for Siri. I said Siri, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Anyway, how are you gonna make us wait for Siri when we literally took 15 minutes to try to find out how to pronounce what's his face's name?
Yeah. You still can't pronounce it.
I'm just saying.
If I can't pronounce
that
it.
The pronunciation.
If your friend, you should know how to
pronunciation
it.
Is not nearly as bad as the fact that. Without my consent, they changed the woman in my phone.
You consented.
The woman in my phone is no longer the woman I know.
You agree?
It makes me very uncomfortable.
You know what?
It's like finding out that there's a stranger in your bed.
Mm. Ooh.
I woke up and I'm like, I don't know this woman. This isn't the woman I've known for the past 3 years. The cold, emotionless, robotic woman that I have gotten used to. This woman is chipper. She's friendly.
There's more.
She's nice. I don't want that in my life.
Yeah, she probably talks about black-on-black crime when you talk about white privilege.
Exactly.
There's more important things in life than your stupid Siri.
So, Szechuan
sauce is more important.
So, this is my third rant of the day.
Fourth now.
I don't know how many rants it is.
You're just going off.
But there is another rant coming.
Ali rant.
For the love of God, is there any fandom more annoying, more obnoxious, and more stupid than the Rick and Morty fan?
Fuck you, first off.
I mean, let's be real. I've seen a couple episodes. They're not that bad. They're all not as good as y'all make it out
They're
to
great.
Be. But it's a bunch of fucking little dicked, insecure people.
Hey, man.
Who are sitting there. I'm just kidding.
They're our fans.
No,
our
look,
fans
I don't. My big issue with the Rick and Morty fandom is that, one, they think they're smarter than they actually are. There's like every time you critique Rick and Morty, like, well, maybe you don't understand. No, I fucking understand Rick
you
and
don't,
Morty.
You're stupid.
It's like, actually, the joke is very subtle. The humor is, you have to understand quantum mechanics. No, you don't. Shut up. Shut up. But the other thing is that the Szechuan sauce, it's one of the dumbest memes that has ever existed in the world. Okay, I get it. You guys all love, but do you really need to yell at McDonald's employees?
Yeah, okay, well, that was out of, you know, line. You shouldn't have done that.
Oh, that was out of line. They were flipping out on fucking Twitter.
Hey, listen, it wasn't McDonald's fault that people were going to camp out for 8 hours to try to get the damn
Szechuan
sauce.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's a fucking sauce.
Yeah, I feel bad though because our boy Jeremy.
Did he camp out?
He waited for the Szechuan sauce, but he didn't get it. But he got the Rick Sanchez statue that he won. So yeah.
Peace amongst worlds.
Yeah,
you can find it on eBay.
Birthday. Yeah,
you can find the Szechuan sauce on eBay.
I know, but they were like it was the
50 bucks.
McDonald's had released the posters.
Look, if you give me $100, I'll get you Szechuan sauce.
Szechuan sauce is easy. All you got to do is take the McDonald's sweet and sour sauce
and the barbecue.
Mix soy sauce. And then put it on the sun for 45 minutes.
What? Cooking with V.
That's pretty much all it is.
It's like, what is that? Binging with Bobbish? It's fucking Binging with V right now. He's teaching us how to...
No, you gotta use... The Binging with Bobbish is an alliteration. So you gotta somehow use V.
Oh.
The letter V with V.
Victitious with V.
No, that's not a word.
Vindicating with V.
No, doesn't have anything to do with cooking.
Yeah.
What is
plus, I vindicate nobody.
Validating
with V. Yeah, validating.
I definitely don't do that.
All right, well, you're going to have to...
Be ugly, by the way.
You need to think about it over a couple minutes.
And venereal diseases with V.
Oh, wow. I'm going to table this before you get killed. We're going to table it right there and just say that, look, fandoms are weird places. I love them. They're great. The Rick and Morty fandom.
I can name a worse one.
Can be good. There's also a good, like the Szechuan stuff is, it went over the top.
It was
stupid.
You know what happened because of it? McDonald's is now releasing Szechuan sauce in the winter.
Look,
at all stores.
Of course it's going to do that. It's a corporation.
Yeah. Good. It's going to make money off of it.
This is going to make money off of it. Of course
it's
going to
do
it. They didn't go, oh, I hate these people. They went, oh, look, there's a bunch of dumbass people. They're going to camp out for 8 hours and then spend money. Of course we're going to release it.
We want Szechuan sauce.
Why? Because you saw it on Rick and Morty.
I want to taste it again.
That's what I think is
funny. Reminds me of my childhood.
No. Szechuan sauce has been gone for 20 something.
And it was never particularly good.
It was never great. I hated it when we tried it, right? I felt like I needed to.
It tastes chemically.
I went to McDonald's during that damn Mulan promotion, right? And then the girl naturally assumed that I wanted Szechuan sauce when I ordered my McNuggets.
Did you not?
No.
What kind of sauce did you
I get? Usually get the barbecue sauce. But anyway.
Enough flavor.
You know, it wasn't great. People don't remember what the damn Szechuan sauce tastes like.
Because Rick and Morty
were. Because they mentioned it in an episode of Rick and Morty. All of a sudden, people are going to wait for almost half a day.
This is what I'm talking about.
People wait for the McRib every year.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
People don't...
Look, the Rick and Morty fandom is one of the more annoying fandoms. I don't think the show is that bad. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, it's the only show that I think that I want canceled. Not because the show is bad, but because I hate the fandom.
I feel like fandoms in general, once you get to a certain point, though, they're all kind of annoying. Yeah.
Look, there's Twilight fans? All fandoms can be annoying, but none of them go that bad.
Have you seen annoying Harry Potter fans?
Harry Potter fans are pretty productive.
I will tell you...
They can be crazy, but not to the point of camping out and then yelling at employees.
Yeah, I will tell you, though, the thing is, though, it has nothing to do with the fandom per se. It's just... People are jerks, and they yell at low-wage employees anyway.
Yeah.
They do yell at low-wage. I don't know, man. There was something that rubbed me wrong.
I'm telling you, bro.
That.
It's not...
Seeing them yell at... what is this guy going to do? Like, really? There's something about that pissed me off endlessly. Also, I'm naturally... I don't like groupthink. Mm-hmm. I hate groupthink. Nothing pisses me off when you end up with a bunch of people that act like a fucking mob. It's how you end up with Trump. By the way, this has been the theme of 2017.
How you end up with Trump.
How do you end up with Trump? Social media, GIFs, memes.
GIFs.
Yeah. All right. Everything I've done has been connected to Trump in some way.
That's true.
Rick and Morty fandom, Trump.
People think that he only does this on the podcast, but he does it in real life, too.
Yeah, he wrote a dissertation on it.
Exactly. You know, the other night he was talking about how shooting an arrow into your genitals ends up with Trump, too.
What the fuck is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
Where did this come
where
from?
Where did that come from? What is the context here?
I'm planning on shooting deers in the genitals with an arrow.
So shooting yourself. So
I don't know the context of this. If you had said shooting someone in the genitals, I would have given you that. I would have a point to V because you set up the joke flawlessly and then you led to death or torture for this.
Yes.
Perfectly.
But you didn't.
Yeah, yeah. You missed the landing a little bit there. It's all right.
That's what happens. Hanging out with them Chechnyans.
Yeah, he's got 50. He's got 15, 20 more minutes. He can get you back. Don't mess with him. You're adding to his hate fire. I'm not sure that's a smart tactic. I'm
poking the bear.
I'm not sure that's a smart tactic in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying, for me personally, I thought... Look, fandoms are great. If you have something that you're passionate about and you're nerdy about, I mean, this is what this entire podcast is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get your nerd on.
Yeah.
Get your nerd burners on, nerdgasms. Be as nerdy as you want. But when your fandoms become a place of assholeness, where you feel like you can yell at people or for you to feel superior, I mean, it's hard to have conversations with Rick and Morty fans. Not all of them. There's some of them that are great. And again, the show is not that bad. I don't hate it. But it leaves a foul taste. There's this, like, if you don't get the joke, immediately, oh, you're not smart enough to get the joke. Really? I'm not smart enough to get the joke?
Maybe.
Maybe you're just so desperate to get the joke, to feel superior that you got the joke.
I never had that experience with Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I had that. All the time with them. Especially on the internet. You have to have a particular style.
You're going after the trolls, bro.
That's just the internet, though. Yeah. I mean, no matter what, it's not just Rick and Morty.
Yeah, the internet is like, we're all like...
I think you two are part of the groupthink.
What?
Yeah, it's evidence right here. Your uncritical defense of your fandom is evidence of the fact.
I'm just saying, you're going after the wrong people. Because you're saying... Like, I've never met a person who's been, like, really weird that was a Rick and Morty fan. But yeah, if I go online...
Looking at them right now.
But if I go online, I'll probably find them.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Rick and Morty fans are bad. I'm saying everyone is.
Yeah. That's the internet for you, bro.
Yeah, but that's...
You ever had a conversation with a fucking, like, a Twitter twihard or whatever? And
no, I have not. I can say I have never had.
Well, you went to midnight releases for
a conversation Twilight. With a twihard person
yeah.
on Twitter.
Go at it with a Twilight person.
I have no interest in having a conversation.
Go on Twitter right now and say Harry Potter sucks and see what happens.
You find plenty of people that say Harry Potter sucks.
And what happens to those mentions? They get replies. Talk shit about One Direction. You have a group of fucking 13-year-olds.
But none of those particular fandoms are rooted. And those are rooted in groupthink. Those are rooted in group identities. Because that's what fandoms are. Inherently. They're inherently about you being part of something bigger than you. And so you, because it's part of your identity. I'm a Harry Potter person. I'm a whatever. You're naturally quite defensive of those areas. That's true. Absolutely. I give you that. But there's none of those fandoms have a sense of superiority.
But your thing is you're equating the Rick and Morty fandom to the fedora-wearing scoundrels of Reddit. And they're not the same. Maybe there's an intersection there.
Those are the elite.
There's an intersection.
Rick and Morty. That is the Rick and Morty ruling council of the fandom.
It's not. They're not the council of Ricks.
They're the council of Ricks.
They're not. They're the Jerrys of the world.
I don't know what that means.
See? You don't watch the show. It's okay, though.
You see? I don't watch that show so you because of people like you.
Well, you are people who watch the show will understand it. I can't. If you tell me a joke or something that's about Dante's Inferno, I'm not going to understand the reference.
the fact that you have that you think in your mind that the Dante Inferno fandom...
I don't know.
All two of us. All two of us are on the same playing field.
If you made a reference, look, I would not understand it.
Us Dante Alighieriites... We never yelled at McDonald's employees.
That's how do you true. Know?
Because there's only two of us. We know each other.
Did they put out a special promotion for Dante sauce?
No, we know which circle of hell waits for those of us who yell at.
I don't understand the reference.
There's also a city of Diz in hell.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
Just changed the letter. City of Diz to City of Diz.
The city of what?
Never mind.
I don't understand the reference. Never mind. See?
Two Inferno fans.
We've never yelled at
We never yelled at any McDonald's employee for
yelled at an employee.
I haven't gone into a McDonald's in years.
Yeah.
See?
I don't know. I almost yelled at a Carl's Jr. employee the other day. But
because you're a Rick and Morty fan. Rick and Morty fan.
She's rude to me.
Watching Rick and Morty leads to degeneracy.
I asked her.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I asked her.
There was a direct correlation between... Watching Rick and Morty, degeneracy, Trump. That's the line. That's the teleology.
God damn it. You associate everything like you don't understand Trump.
Everything is Trump. The horrible thing about it is someone's going to be sitting there like, how the hell does Rick and Morty lead to Trump? Please, for God's sake, it's a parody. Calm down. We need to clarify. The fact that I need to clarify that just tells you what type of society we live
in. We have Rick and Morty fans, or they were listeners, so we probably shouldn't get rid of that.
You're all Trump supporters.
Wow. How dare you?
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
How dare you? You do this. You do this to everything I love. You equate it to Trump. Rick and Morty, fucking football.
Football definitely. Is definitely related to Trump.
Everything. WWE.
Also. Definitely. Also.
It's anything.
He was literally on the WWE.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm a fan of that stuff, too. And I
he
can
shaved
tell you.
Vince Vaughn's head.
Vince McMahon. Vince Vaughn is an actor.
Who's Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn was a dude in Wedding Crashers.
Oh, that's right. Who am I thinking of?
Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon. That's what I was thinking.
Anything Diz like Vince. Pornography, rap music. What else do I like?
No, not rap music.
I've never related rap music to it.
Country music.
Definitely. The NBA. If you're singing about Old Yeller and Barbecue Stains, chances are you're a Trump voter.
I think it's really funny because it's like there was that one commercial in the 90s where they're like, the Barbecue Stains with the shirt.
I'm a white t-shirt.
You use that as an example for 20 plus years now why you hate country.
It's the only country music song I've ever heard. And it's like, but you've got to understand that I'm solid like a rock. I'm built like a mountain.
That's a Chevy commercial. It is.
Solid like a rock. I'm like a Chevy, right? It's like when something is built in, like hatred of country music 20 years ago, that's it.
Yeah.
There's no change. There's no fluctuations.
Yeah.
I'm not a Gemini.
Yeah, try to get him to, God damn it.
you like the subtle dig there?
Try to get him to eat sushi, see what happens.
They can't do it. That one song is all I needed to know about country music. Barbecue stains, white t-shirts, pickup trucks, Trump. That's all I need to
know. It's things that I like that you try to equate to Trump.
But in fairness, Trump is going after the NFL.
He is.
And there's a significant number of the NFL people who are supporting Das Donald.
What?
Das Donald.
That's my name for
it. It's the owners, yes.
Yeah, okay, so one of the owners, the head of the NFL, Roger. Good what?
Roger Goodell.
Goodell. Mm-hmm. So call him Goodwill. Roger Goodell, didn't he literally write a letter?
Yeah, he wrote a letter to the NFL teams on Tuesday, I believe, where he said that he thinks that all players should stand for the anthem, because right now it's becoming a distraction of what they're actually trying to say, and that you can't really get a conversation because you guys are making it people are thinking it's about kneeling, and now there's not going to be any real conversation, so everyone should stand for the anthem.
Okay, so can we just point out also that recently Pence decided to weigh in on this. They planned this publicity stunt.
For sure.
Where Pence would go to a Colts game.
Colts versus Niners. Niners is where Kaepernick played originally.
And he would stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
National anthem.
Mm-hmm. Same shit. And when people knelt, he would leave. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. He left really early.
Yeah.
The problem was... And then he tweeted about it, right?
Like, yeah. Tweeted a three-year-old picture of him at the game. The
problem was that journalists literally reverse Google searched. And it turned out that he used the exact same photo from 3 years ago. He told the press pool not to leave their cars because he'd be returning shortly. Mm-hmm. He was already planning on being in California in a couple hours.
At 4 o'clock, the game was supposed to end at 4:30.
Yeah. So it all turned out to be a publicity stunt, and he got called out for it.
And it cost taxpaying Americans $245,000.
Well, they're saying upwards now of probably $800,000 because of the security, the trip, all of that.
Yeah.
So we're looking at an $800,000 publicity stunt. It backfired spectacularly. The internet called him out on it. Twitter called his ass out.
Did it backfire, though?
It did backfire. It didn't.
But did it? Because what happened? What happened three days later?
The letter?
Yeah, Goodell.
No, I don't think that letter was as a result of Pence. That's a result of the fact that Donald Trump has been tweeting for a long time about this. That's what it was. And that it's becoming more widespread. Pence had nothing. The Pence thing backfired, and it backfired badly. That had no. That didn't shape the conversation.
That's a hell of a price tag for a backfire, too.
Everyone knows it was a publicity stunt.
Yeah, but they don't give a shit.
The issue with Goodell is not Pence, it's the advertisers.
Yeah.
So the advertisers have been putting pressure on NFL to address this because they're threatened to pull.
Well, yeah, because they've lost ratings.
So it wasn't Pence, it was money.
Their ratings are at an all-time low.
Something to do, It never has anything to do with anyone. It always has to do with money, no matter what. I mean, the advertisers are really what kind of control everything.
Yeah.
Well, right? So it can literally, if you can literally have people being lynched on the field. If they're making advertising dollars, I'm pretty sure they won't care. Like,
the one thing about this that I think is also super important to recognize is that Pence literally did what the NFL players are doing.
Yeah.
He protested.
Yeah. During a game.
During a game.
Yeah. Yeah. And imagine, it costs a lot more money for him to do that than anyone else.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much, right? Imagine if Chris Christie was there. That'd be another $100,000 just on nachos alone.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
God damn it. He's fat shaming now.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do that. It's
mean. But it's also true.
I just want to bring up the fact that when Chris Christie was yelling at that one dude at the game, those nachos were in a death grip in his hand. Those things, look, no matter how outraged he was.
There was no greater security in that moment than the nachos in Chris Christie's hand.
Yeah.
In fact, our cybersecurity team looked at his hands as a possible solution to Russian interference. Because of the way he was holding those nachos. But here's the thing I want to emphasize, right? Is that what I find utterly fascinating is this idea that you have to stand for the anthem, right? Mm-hmm. The national anthem wasn't a big major part of the NFL until the Department of Defense literally paid the NFL to make it part of their...
Well, they had the national anthem before games, but the teams weren't out.
But then they wanted to make it a spectacle.
Yeah, so they brought the teams out.
Wanted
to make
a big deal.
Yeah, we're going
so we literally have our military pay for it.
Yeah.
We have our military pay for this thing. Mm-hmm. This is not coincidental.
No.
I have talked about how sports like the NFL in particular, spectator sports, play a massive role in Trump. Nationalism.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to blame
and
Trump.
And that type of nationalism produces Donald Trump.
God damn it. There it goes again. You son of a bitch.
But there is a truth here that... Look, the ancient Romans believed bread and circus would be a way to mollify the crowds.
Yeah.
They believed that if you fed them and you gave them circus, which was not clowns, it was racing.
Yeah.
That you could...
Or gladiators.
...get away with anything.
It's true.
And today, the NFL plays a role in that.
Don't you talk about this distracted state?
Yeah. It's not just the distracted state. The distracted state plays an important role. But it's also the fact that there is an inherent tribalism to spectator sports. I'm on this team. I'm this team. You fight. There's a sort of violence. Those sports act as a sort of microcosm of the way we view competition, contest, patriotism, and war in the United States. So there is a sort of inherent violence in that. There's an inherent idea about violence and patriotism that are entwined with one another.
It's bad.
What I find ironic, though, is the idea that these people are saying worship the symbol, not what that symbol means.
Yeah, I think it's always the argument that I kind of bring up for people who are kind of speaking or criticizing the kneeling protests. I'm like, well, technically you're talking about soldiers dying and them disrespecting them. Like, if you make that argument, then you're basically saying that the soldiers died for the piece of colored cloth more than they died for what the cloth represented.
Right. Or the fact that you all voted for a guy who literally said he doesn't like POWs because they got caught.
No one likes POD. It's horrible.
What type of respect for troops was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Gold Star family.
Tell me you respect the troops if you're okay with that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just find it fascinating. Where are the free speech warriors, right? The ones that are attacking Berkeley. Where are they now? What, do black athletes not have free speech?
No.
There is an absolute racial component here that often remains ignored. And I think there's some really fantastic work done by Sean King, Jamila Hill. These people are actually doing a great job talking about these things, because what we're saying is the opinions of black athletes are inconvenient
here's
for white spectators.
Sean King posted this picture the other day of... Or like this video the other day of this guy from the Houston Astros, right? Mm-hmm. Houston Astros won their playoff game. They're going into the next round of the playoffs. He was in a American flag Speedo getting champagne sprayed on him, right? No one made a big deal about that. How is that not disrespectful to the flag? You're literally got it covered by your balls and your butt and fucking feces and whatever else if you didn't wipe yourself properly. I'm just saying. You literally are putting fucking shit next to the flag and you're putting it on your butt and on like, you know, like as a pair of underwear. That's not disrespectful. But someone kneeling, right? So Kaepernick used to sit, right?
Yeah.
And the whole thing was
he got a letter from
an actual veteran who told him, like, you know, who was like, you know, like, you shouldn't sit. What we do is we kneel when one of our people fall. And he's like, I understand what you're trying to say. He's like, but if you kneel, people will listen to you more.
Well, he wrote this letter that says, I know what you're trying to say. Sitting isn't the right response. Kaepernick then invited him out, mm-hmm. and they had a long conversation, and then they collectively came to the kneeling because he said kneeling is more respectful.
Yeah, right? You kneel for prayer.
So this is, and in that regards, that is all completely lost. It's not accidental, though, is what I'm trying to say. The kind of conversation that's emerged is like, oh, Trump has managed to make this about the flag. He's managed to make it about the troops. The original message has been lost. No, it hasn't. The original message that Kaepernick wanted to discuss was about police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely racial true. Injustice. But the conversation about the NFL, free speech, the flag, that's inherent to the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a distraction. That's part of that game. That's part of the NFL. It is a nationalistic sport. Mm-hmm. It is a military exercise. So the conversation about the flag isn't a distraction. It is a symptom of a much deeper relationship between spectator sports and the state. Mm-hmm. And that's something that people don't interrogate. That's not something people recognize. They go, oh, you're losing the message. No. It's always been the message. That the spectator sports are nationalistic, they're violent, they're militaristic, and they represent that part of American society that demands what? Conforming to a certain ideal of patriotism, right? Why the fuck do you think the Department of Defense pays big bucks to have the national anthem played and sports people go out and respect it? Why the theater and the pageantry?
Because kids see it and then they want to join
conformity.
Just like the Pledge of Allegiance at school. Yeah. Technically, it's just it's us conforming to that. But there's actually, so Orwell, George Orwell, I mean, he wrote the Sports Spirit, mm-hmm. wrote that paper in 1945, and he actually had a really great quote where he basically talked about where the spectators seriously believe for a short period of time that running, jumping, and kicking a ball are tests of national virtue. Right.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Right now. So like, and that's, you know, that's really what, and then he talks about kind of how gross the nationalism is in sports, more specifically things like boxing, right? And then we even see teams internationally who are associated only specifically with certain regions of the country, right? Like in Spain, the Basque country only hires, football clubs only hire Basque players, right? So there's an inherent nationalism in and of itself there that's a lot more it's a lot more obvious, right? Whereas for us, we associate ourselves with certain teams like the Cowboys or whatever else based on kind of, you know, what we've aligned ourselves to. But that team specifically has actual requirements of where you were, or like of race almost, right? Of you have to be Basque in order to be hired onto this team. I don't know about race, right? But like, you know, I mean,
yeah, that's because Basque is has autonomy. So it's obviously going to be different than something like Kansas.
Yeah, but you look at other football clubs in Spain. So they're not against if you're part of that Spain. If you're not a part of Spain, they hire people from all over the place.
Yeah,
right. But this team specifically, and there's a Scottish team that does the same thing too, where it's like you have to be from this region in order for them to hire you.
Right, but those regions have their own histories. There's a reason they do that, right? The nationalism exists in multiple layers. It's an imagined community, right? So when you're creating an imagined community, America is the imagined community. So NFL plays to that entirety of that. The Basque country is its own imagined community. So of course it's going to be focused in that regard. I guess I'm not understanding exactly, because I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying yes, you reiterated what I said, that there's a nationalistic component here. The Orwell quote was exactly what I was thinking about when I was making the analysis. But I guess I'm not understanding exactly Like, what's the differentiation that you're making? Maybe I'm just missing it entirely.
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck he was trying to say. I don't know what the fuck you're trying to say either.
Because you just happen to like football and you don't care about these other implications that it has.
Here's you know, honestly, like, I'm gonna be real. Like, in the past few years, I haven't given a shit about football.
Okay, I will believe that when I actually see it. Let's
fuck out of here.
No. Like, get the fuck out of here with that. I don't really take football seriously anymore. It's not that.
Look, I don't watch it as much as I used to.
I mean, anyone who's listened to this podcast could just listen to previous episodes where you talk about the Cowboys.
I used to be really violent, and I think, like, it. That's the one part about sports that, like it baffles me, right? Because I look at my own behaviors in the past, right? And I'm like, damn, I can't believe. Like, I wanted to. I've actually.
You're pretending to have a self awareness you do not have.
But I've literally.
You look at your behavior now, too.
I don't. But the thing is, I don't threaten to punch people in the face now after the Cowboys lose, whereas before I did. Like, my cousin texted me the other day after the Cowboys lost, and he's like, haha, bro, Cowboys lose. And I'm like, all right, that's good.
Why did you read he's the my text German in accent?
Cousin. He's my German cousin. So he's like, haha, bro, Cowboys suck, bro.
Does he have an accent?
He does. Now he has an accent.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So I was just like, yeah, dude, whatever. He's like, what the fuck, bro? I expect you to cuss me out. I'm like, honest, I just don't give a shit. He's like,
this is a recent
development. I don't like this diz. What happened to the diz who say, fuck you?
This is a recent development.
Die, get HIV.
This is not, whoa.
I used to say some fucked up shit.
Let's just say that this is a very recent development.
Also, you know, diz was cussing. He just didn't want to text it back to him.
No.
In his mind, he was cussing.
No, so the interesting thing about sports, actually, I was looking up the history of nationalistic sports in Italy, actually. In the 20s and 30s, actually created their own game called Volata, which was kind of, you know, their alternative to soccer and rugby, right? Because they didn't want these British association soccer and all other stuff, so they created this thing as a form of their own personal nationalism. Trying to, like, the sport in and of itself was supposed to be born, you know, Italian born, right? So it's like their own nationalistic way or their own nationalistic sport. It was a fascistic propaganda. It was endorsed by the Italian Rugby Federation and everyone else and every government institution. Eventually, it kind of lost steam, but it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, they literally created a sport in order to enforce their nationalism.
Yeah, I mean, is that any different than what football is?
Yeah, you know, and imagine. I mean, think about it like this. We just saw recently. I mean, the U.S. team just lost to Trinidad and Tobago. And they're not going to be in the World Cup next year, right? And all of a sudden, all these people who don't fucking watch soccer... I know these people don't watch soccer. They're my friends. They never talk about it. All of a sudden, they come out of the world talking about how the U.S. team is horrible and how they should be ashamed of themselves because we lost Trinidad and Tobago.
How dare you lose to Trinidad? You know,
like, there's a component, especially in American spectator sports in particular, right? Because American spectator sports are often dominated by black athletes.
Yeah, 70% of the NFL is black.
But the treatment of the black athletes are fundamentally still as one of possession.
Yeah.
You own their skill. I love this, like, if you're a millionaire and you're kneeling because you think you're oppressed, as if, because they've somehow, you should be grateful that you have that chat. Grateful. Yeah. You didn't give it to them, Massa. Yeah. They earned it. They have skills. I mean, as a person who has nothing but contempt for any form of athletics in general, even I can acknowledge the intense amount of training and skill and dedication that it takes for an athlete to achieve what it is they achieve. To completely disregard it and treat it as a handout from the state, that tells you something of the mentality that is inherent within the spectator sport, right? A sense of possession of the players.
So LeBron James, a few months ago, had the N-word spray painted at one of his houses in LA, right?
Right.
And he tweeted out, you know, like, it's sad to see, like, in this day and age that people still, like, look at you this way, you know, like, they still look at you as just that, right? He was told by another black sports anchor that, like, LeBron, you don't face discrimination. You have money. People like me and you, his name is Jason Whitlock, by the way. Yeah. He's like, people like you and I and Oprah, we don't face discrimination. We got money. If a poor black person says it, okay, yes, they face discrimination. But we don't face discrimination. We got money. And, like, another black athlete's like, what do you mean? Because we have money, we don't face discrimination.
This is a misunderstanding of the intersection of class and race, right? And how these two actually interact with one another. That within a certain right, yes, absolutely, you can ascend certain class restrictions, right? You can become wealthy. But what you cannot ascend Mm-hmm. What you cannot transcend is the racial restrictions. Yeah. Those will always be there. There's a certain burden that comes, or a certain baggage that is associated with blackness. And that's something that you can't just, you know, become rich enough to get rid of. That doesn't work that way, right? No matter how rich he becomes, to someone who's white, he may still always be a quote-unquote thug,
yeah,
or violent,
or an N-word.
Or any of those other components, or any of those other value statements that come with race. This is an important part of the conversation of the Kaepernick story, right? Because it is what part of his message is that there is racial inequality, and to try to address it. The problem is that it's now being done in the nationalistic stage. He can never win that conversation. That is a conversation that he cannot win. Well, he did the right thing, in my opinion, by bringing awareness, right? He has every right to. There's no, this like, oh, he should have done it this way. I hate that conversation.
Yeah.
All protest is fantastic. The problem is it's a losing battle. The reason it's a losing battle is because this is American nationalism. This is a cult at the heart of it. You can't shake that. No matter what, you can sit there and go, no. Look, I love the troops. You could spray paint, I love the troops, on your shirt as you kneel.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not conforming. You're not regimented.
Nope.
You're breaking out of that disciplinary model that is aimed at creating a productive member of society. And so long as you do that, you will be subversive and therefore a threat.
Look, it is what it is. The NFL sucks. But one thing that was good about Monday Night Football this week was that they played the Star Wars trailer.
So we should mention Nerd News, hashtag Nerd News.
Yeah.
Talk about what's coming out new. The trailer, we all saw it.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
So I was talking to my cousin Henna about this. Shout out to
one of my favorite people in the world.
She's dope. So we had this conversation a few months ago when we were talking about like the new Star Wars movie. And one of her biggest like reservations were like, she felt that they were going to use Rey as like a prop to bring like Kylo Ren back into the light, or that she might even just be like a love interest or something.
Mm.
And so that was one of her biggest fears.
Mm.
And then when I was watching this trailer, so towards the end of it, you know, she's saying that she's reaching out for help, and then you see Kylo Ren extend his hand. Like, so for her, she's like, I feel like I woke up from, I feel like a nightmare is coming true.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a misdirect.
Let's hope it's a misdirect. Because
they did that with the last the trailer for Force Awakens too. There were misdirects in there.
Yeah.
Right? And scenes that didn't even end up being in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that's a misdirect. I think also, like, they're making it seem like they're naturally going to make certain things seem like they're happening when they don't happen.
Anymore. Let's hope so.
That what I found interesting was Luke mentioning that he was scared.
Mm-hmm. Of Rey's raw power?
Yeah. That's not a emotion the Jedi are supposed to feel.
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear leads to anger.
The fact that he has that
anger leads
is an issue, right?
The dark side.
I wonder how they're going to play out his role. I don't want him to be broken.
Hmm. But he is going to be broken.
I'm okay with him being withdrawn. I'm okay with him saying I'm done with society, that type of thing. I don't want him to be like an emotional wreck.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't undo all those years of Jedi training. Mm-hmm. Let him be withdrawn from the world and she needs to get him back. I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with him being this like fearful, scared old man. That's not Luke. Luke is one of the most powerful Jedi in the Star Wars universe. He ends up being the most powerful. Don't ruin that because you're trying to pursue emotional depth or something.
Well, because there's the scene in there, isn't the temple burning down?
Yeah.
Like about the Knights of Ren and all that stuff. So like maybe he's having, and then like the last time he'd felt that power was in Ben, right?
We'll see.
So we're not really sure. I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, there was the Chewbacca and the Falcon with the Porg, right? But then I'm like, who's piloting the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
You know, it's a good question because Chewie's the co-pilot and Porg's not driving it, so.
The question is also, is Luke going to leave that
island? Yeah.
Is he going to join back or is he going to stay away?
That's true. And then there was obviously the emotional moment where, you know, Leia and the Mon Calamari Star Cruiser thing.
Yeah, we retweeted about our princess.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's, I think there's an interesting indication there, you know, because Kylo Ren is in his, you know, indicator, whatever it is, like.
They're indicating that he might be attacking, but there's confirmation from Luke that she makes it to the next.
Yeah. So he just kind of spoiled her.
Yeah, he did. He did
like, spoiler alert.
Mark Hamill already was like, yeah, her story continues on to the
film. See, that's no fair because Jedis can tell the future and shit.
I think he did. They're being very clear about that because they don't want to use her death as a selling tactic.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to respect her life.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so I think that's why they're not going, oh, spoiler alert. They're like very clear, like, no, her story continues, right? Like they don't want to exploit that. And I appreciate that. I do. I don't want to walk away going, what's going to happen to her character, right? That's not, you know, that's not respectful to Carrie Fisher. So I can appreciate that. I love the trailer. It gets me pumped up.
Yeah, I'm ready.
It was fantastic.
The Battle of Crait looked like Hoth.
Yeah.
With the walkers.
My fear is like, you get so excited about Star Wars movies, right? Because they have such a deep connection. It's
the soundtrack and everything else, yeah.
They never quite live up to.
Yeah. It doesn't, you know what it is? I think for us,
yeah,
we remember as kids watching the original trilogy,
yeah,
right? And then we remember how excited it was because for a lot of us, it was kind of the first, it's one of some of our first kind of introductions into that kind of epic, yeah, operatic, you know, like, yeah, journey, right? So we have a very special place in our heart for it. And the Star Wars movies, I think they scratch the itch, but they don't satisfy the itch, you know?
Like, well, I thought Rebels was better. A Rogue One or whatever it's called.
I liked Rogue One.
Rogue One was better than Force Awakens.
I liked Rogue One was the last hour of Rogue One was better than Force Awakens.
Rogue One's big problem though is their characters were interesting but they don't actually do a lot of character development.
There's no character
development. Not at all. Yeah. She just kind of joins the resistance.
Yeah.
It's
a pretty superficial build, right? But you know what's going to happen,
yeah,
and you know what it leads into, and that they use that
and
perfectly,
the
right?
Same thing with Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But that depiction of Vader in Rogue One was dope.
I think that's what sold it for a lot of people, yeah, is you got to see the dark side unleashed.
That was...
Because up until this point, the only real time we've seen the dark side is actually the Emperor.
Yeah.
Shooting out his lightning. Vader has fought a few times,
yeah,
but never kind of fully showing us how terrifying he can be. He toyed with Luke in the second one. Third one, he kind of held back, and then he turned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the time where we're like, oh, that's why he is the most terrifying villain of all time.
Yeah.
Right. He's unstoppable. He's literally unstoppable.
That's
all you can do is run.
Exactly. Right. That's why I enjoyed it.
So, thumbs up from us.
Yeah.
We're going to check it out. It's coming out in a few months.
December 15th.
We will let you know how it goes. Close. We will naturally, we'll probably do... leading up to it, a series of Star Wars themed episodes in November. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. We've talked about a lot of different things, mostly ranting.
Mm-hmm.
At shit.
You ranting.
I don't know about me. I thought it was a collective rant effort.
I tied V into a Chechnya dictator. But
let us know what your thoughts are. And Diz is going to let you know how to do that.
Yes, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. We're on Twitter, @currentlynerdy. Instagram, @currentlynerdy. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. We're on YouTube. You search Currently Nerdy. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to us there. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
You can find me on my Twitter and Instagram at vtran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Elite.
You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at AAOLOMI. Instagram gives you a kind of behind the scenes into what I do as a historian and as someone who teaches at a university. You can also find me on my website, aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com, as well as on our sister podcast, Head on History, which will be returning in a few weeks with a new season. Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla, DizBullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in, and remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you have ties to a Chinese.